Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey guys, it's episode 109 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. How is everyone doing? We're here on a Wednesday night getting ready for the last of our two preseason games. We've got a lot of roster battles still available. Actually, yeah. Just kidding. Only two and two preseason games left. How's it going?
Take four. That intro was better.
This is Drew Papske here, along with Jeff DeAngelis, your color commentator on all things Papske. And we have a little nourishment boy over here, call him Doyle.
Crunch and Munch Doyle.
Eating his nutritious breakfast for dinner.
You hear that crunch, it's those leafy greens going down.
How are those leafy greens, Doyle?
I didn't know Chipotle was considered breakfast.
It's any meal. Taco Bell is fourth meal. Chipotle has any meal, including snack, second snack, and also midnight snack, depending on how much Chipotle you
have. Chipotle has queso now. I feel like we talked about this last week, maybe.
It doesn't matter. We're a one-trick
pony. It throws off your feng shui the way they have it set up.
I don't like it.
It's like...
What do they have it set up at?
They have the rice, the beans and veggies, then the meats, and then...
the meats.
Then you have like one little square within the meats of queso.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Plus the queso, like at least at the one I was at, it was like super thick. And like... It's supposed to be like nacho cheese consistency, right? This queso was like, it looked like cottage cheesy. It was kind of gross.
I know it's not my cheese. Oh, wait.
Oh,
how'd you get
God.
The beans about the Franks? That's what I want to know.
Jesus.
Great movie. Anyway, guys, we've got a lot of Flyers hockey to talk about. Now, that was your Chipotle update with Doyle, a resident Chipotle reporter, on the scene. The Flyers are coming off a hot home and home with the Rangers that both went in overtime, just like every almost goddamn game this preseason with the Flyers.
Like
talk about that.
Every game for the last two seasons always go to overtime.
Yeah, well, they've had a lot of overtime play in the regular season as well. But this preseason, it's like, geez, they can't buy regulation win, can they? But
jeez,
okay,
oh
though.
Man.
We got the roster spots. We're going to talk about our standout stars tonight of the preseason, the guys that have left the team, and also looking ahead to the Metropolitan Division. So strap yourselves in, folks. It's going to be a wonderful show for you, we hope. But first, a word from our sponsor. Just kidding, we don't have sponsors. Actually, we do have voicemails to play.
Yeah, just put Josh.
We do have voicemails. All right, while you're firing up those voicemails.
Oh, we'll get to those later. Not.
Oh, did you see, I texted you guys today, that one Chris Vandevelde and one RJ Umberger have been released from their professional tryouts.
No way. Dude.
Yeah.
That's like fool's gold.
Do we really think RJ Umberger was going to make it through camp?
The Stars people were like, oh, I really thought he had a shot. I don't know. Maybe they didn't watch him play.
Maybe they just wanted to see him
RJ
dead
Umberger's
on the ice again.
I'll show you a 40-game span from the last time he played for the Flyers. you don't want to sign him.
He scored like three goals.
I was there the night he broke the streak.
It took him like 50 games.
Yeah, he scored against Robin Lehner.
Do you know how happy I was he broke the streak while you were there just despite everything, how much you hated on him?
Yeah, I think Nick Cousins scored that night too.
Yeah, it was also great when Jeff
picked... Oh my God, we traded Cousins or we're doomed.
When Jeff picked Chris Vandevelde to score... As like
he
a
did.
Dumb pick, and then he scored.
Yeah, when we did our little prediction last
the
season.
The only time our game time predictions have been correct. My only time.
False.
My only time.
I've been correct many times.
Drew was just like, I think they're going to play hockey tonight. Oh, I got it right. I'm so good at this.
Oh,
I'm great.
Oh, my God. Coming from the guy who has Jeff stats and makes shit up as he goes along.
That is 100% fact.
Yes, that's a Doyle stat, which means it's probably right.
If I
second it, it means it's definitely right.
Just like the other day, Jeff said that Robert Hagg was like 29. Yeah.
As a student of mainstream media, I've learned you just make up the facts to fit the narrative.
You're a student of dumb media. Dumb life. Oh, wait, do we repeat ourselves? Quirky. I don't know.
Jesus.
So the Flyers played the last couple nights.
You just started an over-under how many times I say Jesus throughout the podcast.
Well, hopefully you say Allah as well, because we are an accepted multicultural, multi-religious podcast.
Aloha, snack bar.
All right. So that's how you say it, Jeff. Jesus, what the...
great start.
Yeah, anyway, I want to talk about the Flyers win win last night.
How about those overtime games, huh?
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about, and you're dropping this weird shit on me. They went 1-1. Both home teams won in the overtime and the two tilts of home and home. The first game, the Flyers lost after a heartbreaking. Played a pretty good game. I didn't get to watch pretty much any of it, but you guys, you said you watched most of it. You guys had a lot to tell me about after the game.
Most of the games, all of the games, the Flyers gave up a lead late and then lost in overtime.
Yeah, that was the
Going trend.
That's like a 3 or 4 game narrative now.
Yeah.
But they won last night. They carried the play and actually had a lot of good shifts and were able to produce.
Monday they did.
Yeah, Monday. Monday.
Most of the time they look like a way better team, but I mean that's also because like the Flyers lineup is like guys that are going to be in it. They didn't really have to cut too many people.
For the most part, but a lot of the guys are going to be in it are also younger guys that have either been bouncing back and forth the AHL, NHL, and also a lot of. Younger guys haven't really gotten a fair shake at the NHL yet, which they are now, as we see the roster cuts happening. We have like, looks like we're going to have some rookies on the year. Finally, like this is why I'm so excited about this season. There's actually going to be all this stuff talking about for years. Just give it a couple more years. We'll wait till these young guys move up, and this is finally it. Like there's no possible way ever, nothing bad's going to happen that they're not going to make it.
So Andy's going down. Andy McDonald's going back to the Phantoms. E4. Spectre.
Oh, we'll get to that. So Andy McDonald did play and a bunch of other people. So thoughts on the first game overall besides what you already said? Anything of note that we should pull out? Any performances? Sanheim had
2 goals.
Both came on the power play, right?
One at the end of the period?
I don't know. I didn't see the second one. I saw the first one. I forget if it was on the power play or not, but it was a... Lazor, I think it was 4v4 was when he scored.
It was four. I was looking at it.
Right, and I think the second one, it was like the end of the period.
Nolan Patrick.
I was wrong.
Nolan Patrick got the...
Did you even watch the game, Jeff?
I don't really remember it. Was this...
Were you just drinking? Did you come on Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Monday was after a weekend of drinking, so it was just like I was asleep by pretty early.
Asleep by pretty early, okay.
Yeah.
That's very good English there.
I do. The second goal, Sanheim snuck in at the end of the second and scored. Like, he was down low because he was like, there's not a lot of time left. Even if, like, it goes the other way, they're not going to get off a chance, so I can kind of pinch up.
He has the ability, like, when Ghost is on his offensive game to pinch in and really make something happen down low. He's also bigger than Ghost, which is, nice to have.
Yeah, and he looks like Coots without a beard. Remember that?
Yeah, remember that? I do remember that. That's very, very nice of you to say. The Travis Sanheim... 2 goals on Monday night, and then they really couldn't get anything going. The top line apparently had some chances. Apparently, the past 2 nights, I watched the whole second game, they've had some chances.
Was it Monday?
Cash in.
Was it Monday or last night? It was last night that they passed back and forth on a 2-1,
I mean, they did that a lot.
Drew and Voracek were on a 2-1-0, and they passed the puck back like 3 times.
That was last
each other.
Night.
Yeah.
We tweeted about that.
All
right, well, we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
I think they did it in both games.
Travis,
they got a little pass happy.
The power
Sanheim
hasn't been really doing it either.
It's been awful. It's like 0 for 20 or something like that.
It has.
But Travis Sanheim picked up the play since last week.
He certainly has.
Yeah, so after the rat 2 weeks ago on our podcast bitched about him in the rookie game, how bad he did. I don't think you can really say much better. I mean, has he been perfect? No,
he's made some mistakes, but he's played much better.
I mean, he had a turnover Tuesday that led to a goal, but like...
But did he look bad the rest of the game? He turned it back
around? No, yeah.
What about Provorov the first 6 games last year? Oh, no, he might be sent back down all of a sudden.
Jeff was pining for that to happen.
I said it could happen if he kept up a shitty play, but then he didn't keep up a shitty play. So it didn't happen.
No, like, you said you wanted him to go down after that game.
Well, Sanheim's
I don't know why they brought him up if he's just going to play shitty.
Sanheim's going down this time.
Oh, wow. Is he going to run that one to Vegas with you, Jeff?
Yeah.
I've done that. I just like watching Doyle put you freaking old Irish grudge-holding bastard. take a year ago. A year ago, this idiot said that Provorov was going back down because he fell a couple times in the Blackhawks game, gave a bunch of goals. Well, look at this idiot now because Provorov did great. And Jeff's like, no, I didn't. Didn't say it. Now he's saying Sanheim because he's trying to spite you and me. Even though I'm not even instigating here. I'm just trying to give a play-by-play of what's happening.
I just don't, out of the games, like, who do you think really goes down? It has to be...
We're going to roster spots already. Jesus, let's slow it down, people.
All right, we'll slow it down for the sake of Drew.
Yeah, let's structure this because everyone knows
earlier today,
structure is what we're about.
Yeah.
Earlier today, I breathed.
Yeah?
Now we can talk about the roster
spots. Did you breathe in the air?
I don't want to quote more Pink Floyd. Jeff, don't know Pink Floyd.
Or did you breathe one into the two?
Sorry.
Two into the three.
Stop bringing the show to Screechy Hall. It's my job, all right? My job to bring it
down. Did you even get what the second reference was?
No, I didn't, because I was too busy looking at Jeff and wondering why.
Dude, Fabulous, man. You don't remember Fabulous?
The song?
Yeah, Breeze. One of the two of the three. Come on.
You guys just
sound
like...
Sorry, you're singing off candor here.
You guys just sound like two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl.
Hack. Hack.
It's not even the right song.
It doesn't matter.
He just saw it on MGK one time. Or
I did.
It came up on the info. Oh, that's who Pink Floyd
They played
is.
It in like the Preston and Steve show break. That's the only reason why I know that.
Yeah. False. I listen to the daily podcast and there are no commercial breaks.
I love this new bit. It's called Dissecting Jeff in the Car Listening to Radio. It's a very meandering bit, but it has a good payoff. It's very fun. But lastly, I want to talk about a couple of things lastly before we get to the roster sponsor still up for grabs. All the young guys, I think, turned in a great effort last night. What do you say? I mean, I'll tell you, these young kids, they really are. They're coming to play, and they know that spots are open. They're ready to go up to the big league. Thoughts?
The fourth line, I believe it was, with...
Oh, yes.
Mikhail Vorobiev and... Was Vecchio on playing?
No, it was...
Who was on
Lear
the...
Lear and Raffle.
That's who it was.
And it was like... we tweeted last night, it was... Hey, look, we have a fourth line with talent. Holy cannoli. Like actually had like some skill, and they were, every time they were on the ice, they had a pretty much, I think they had a productive shift.
Yeah. I feel like even if...
I mean, granted, it's against the Rangers preseason squad. You can't really, it wasn't really their top players. They had some top players.
I feel like where our fourth line, no matter who it is this year, is going to be way better than...
Exponentially.
About it'll probably be Scott Laughton. At least.
Whatever.
Maybe Matt Reed. But everyone
Reed just...
Everyone hates Matt Reed now.
Well, we never really were big fans of him anyway.
He had two good seasons. Really hate him.
Because they don't have Vandevelde to hate on.
Right, because there's like, no, they... Even if he stayed on them in the way of like Taylor Lear and stuff.
McDonald and Reed are the...
the new scapegoats, I guess. The new Vandevelde and Vandevelde, because even Pep wasn't that bad.
At least I can't blame Mason anymore. I got so tired of defending Mason the last two seasons.
Well, people already hate Brian Elliott. They hated the signing.
Yeah, well.
Of course they did.
He made some great saves last night. Yeah. So, you're dumb.
I'm pretty sure last year at some point he went like 15-1 or something.
Realistically.
His second half last year was amazing.
Yeah, he got traded and then got bounced out in the playoffs. But.
He said but.
Who were they going to sign?
I don't know. Ever heard of Marc-Andre Fleury, dude?
Did you ever hear of...
That's my not true Flyer fan character.
Did you ever hear of Anthony Stolarz backing up Michael Neuwirth?
Yeah.
Hurt Anthony Stolarz? Out my back, out my ankle.
Just because it would have been hilarious.
Michael Hurtbirth?
Yeah, just because it would have been hilarious to Twitter implode. Like, I wish that's who they would have went with.
I would be
They're going into this season with...
Be careful what you wish for.
I would be so scared if that's what the...
Imagine like
were.
Everybody and everybody like in the beginning of summer would have been like, oh my god, Stolarz is finally gonna get some games in, like he's gonna play, and then like what, last month Hextall's like, yeah, his knee never healed or he broke it again.
Granted, like we said this before, we were looking forward to getting more play time last year. We weren't all up in arms like, oh, he's gonna be the new starter. I want to see what he could do.
If they didn't sign Neuwirth and then signed Elliott, I would have no problem as Stolarz being the backup.
Yeah, but well, maybe Hextall
knew.
Because
you think Elliott will be able to last the whole season?
Well, he's better at playing like in a tandem, but he can play more than 30 games, which is Michael Neuwirth's problem.
And right. Neuwirth will be good enough when we make the playoffs and squeak in the first round, and he'll be able to come in when Elliott needs a rest and play a series and stand on his head, then get hurt, and then Elliott will come in and clean up, and then we'll win the Stanley Cup. Is that how this works?
Right.
I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, and the Eagles won the Super Bowl because they won against the Giants. I mean, like, it's just... It's book it for Vegas, people. We're winning everything this year. Four teams.
I'm sure Hextall wouldn't have signed Elliott if he knew old cripple knees would have been fine. Yeah. You know?
That's true.
So maybe we could have had Neuwirth and Stolarz, but maybe Stolarz was like, listen, coach, I don't really know. My knee stinks. And Hextall was like, damn it.
My knee hurts. Knee does stink.
And then they went into free agency, and they were like, this guy yodels moose. Let's get him. And then Brian Elliott was like, man, after that playoff performance, I'm glad anyone wants to sign me. And that's how we ended up here.
Well, regardless of his past or whatever, I mean, we know it can be good.
His stats are literally almost identical to Steve Mason, but in the Western Conference.
I also think, even though I would like to keep Mason, but for the money, I am very happy with the
goal situation. Yeah, absolutely.
This is the way I felt when we had Neuwirth and Mason the first time. This is the way I'm feeling. Like, it's not amazing, but it's not bad. It's
all
like, it's a good
buying time until Carter Hart's ready.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is what you need. And he's, what, 2 years out, which is how long their contracts are for?
He's going back to junior this year. I think he's already back with Everett.
But next year he could bounce out of there.
Next year, yeah, I don't know. I think he's old enough next year to play in the AHL.
And you still have Sandstrom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's also lighting it up.
Plus, maybe Alex Lyon will be crazy good or something.
Maybe we can trade the farm
out of nowhere
for, what's his name, Jeff's boy over the Devils.
Oh, Corey Schneider? Yeah. Now he's damaged goods now.
Oh, whoa. You turned it back on.
You're hopping off that train now?
You sound like me when I was like 25 and got jaded with Carmen Electra. I was like, oh, yeah, she's damaged goods now. I didn't have her when I was 13.
Yeah,
I wanted her, so.
After playing with the Devils, he's damaged goods.
Okay. Well, the Devils are going to stink.
He's like
year.
Older now, too.
Yeah. He's past his prime when he's like 26. Yeah.
Flyers had a real goalie with Chris Pronger and not Michael Layton. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, we keep playing this. We got to stop going back to 2010, people.
Yeah, it would have hurt.
One day we're going to win.
Wouldn't have hurt.
Oh, my God. Corey Schneider's 31 now. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's pretty. That's kind of old, man.
He spent so much time in the AHL. He's got to be fresh, though.
Dude, Lundqvist is what, 30?
It's like when Michael Vick went to jail, though, when he like got
Lundqvist
a couple years
like
off his legs.
I think.
Yeah, Lundqvist is like 36, and everybody's writing him off. Like, hey, he's pretty much done.
Well, don't write him off. I'd say left him off because there's a lot
of. I don't know if
the
they're
time.
Really writing him off, but I don't think people. Don't believe he's going to be able to carry them.
Oh,
like
yeah,
he used
maybe.
To.
I mean, Brodeur played till he was like 40, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think Hasek played pretty well.
But Brodeur won Stanley Cups. Lundqvist? Oh,
that is
boy.
True. Lundqvist has never been able to do it himself.
Yes, I know, Rangers fan. Neither did Simone Gagnier, Claude Drew, but shut up. We're talking about goalies, okay?
He just has a very lucrative Advil sponsorship. Helps dull the pain of heartache.
And all the scarves he wears. Looks fabulous and enjoy it. But, yeah, I think the thing to take away from the last two games is the negatives are, holy shit, first line, get it together.
Holy shit, power play, get it together.
That was the second one.
But that's to be expected.
Thing, the first line thing is to be expected as well because Giroux goes to playing the wing after never playing left wing.
Right.
So everyone's freaking out. Like, dude, there was people
that's
tweeting
not gonna
us
happen overnight.
Night.
Dude, when you watch, though, like, when you watch a lot of the times, just I don't even know if it was intentionally or unintentionally, he coasted back to the middle. So, like, you can't expect him to play a viable left-wing game in two preseason showings.
Yeah, and also, he's still able to produce. I mean, we'll get to this player in a minute, but I want to still stay on Drew for a second. Sam Morin, holy shit. The laser, after yeah. Drew fed him, Drew came in and found the trailer, still has the vision. Doesn't matter. He's going to be able to find people. As long as Kutz keeps crashing the net, and Kutz knows where to go. I mean, it was his hockey IQ. Like, it's kind of like a hack thing to say at this point, but he does have it. He knows where to be.
I think Drew's just going right back to 1C when the season starts.
He could be, but at least he had some looks at left wing. I have people complaining to me about it. People I work with, like, well, what do you think, man? Like, this is stupid. Like, he needs to play center. I'm like, well, it's a preseason.
Yeah, it's meaningless games.
Yeah, all right, we're gonna try.
Yeah, if they're gonna try
the
that,
Wildcat in the preseason,
now's the time.
They ran the Wildcat in the preseason. They're not gonna run a regular. Like, no, it's called a Wildcat, dude. This is like a different look they can go back to later in the season to try to switch things up. Rather than do it now, than say, all right, we're a couple games out of playoff spots. February, time to put up or shut up.
Yeah, there's literally no repercussions.
Yeah,
there's no downside.
Yeah, he didn't score a goal in preseason. Who gives a fuck? We're nice. I hope he scores before the preseason is over. But
dude, that's people already complain about Nolan Patrick because he hasn't scored a goal yet.
He only has assists, and Nico scored one goal, and the Devils won a game 8-1, and Nico is the better pick. The only problem is the Flyers didn't have a fucking choice.
Yeah, here's the thing. Nico went first.
Picked Patrick.
I read somebody with, like, I think I texted you guys last night about it. It's like somebody's like, this is like the JVR Patrick Kane thing all over again. I was like, how?
After what? A few preseason games?
Yeah.
And like one training camp?
The Devils aren't even good.
We jumped. We were supposed to be the first overall pick and we got fucked out of that. But now we're.
Right, yeah.
We jumped up from a 13th overall pick to the second overall pick.
If anything, someone that was supposed to be second is pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
Not us. It's just, I hate when they just say, oh, this is stupid. Like, yeah, I had no words. I can't even get it out.
Dude.
Nolan Patrick is going to be a good hockey player. Most
all right,
likely.
Like right now, obviously you see his offensive ability like progress every game so far. Like there is one like no look pass when he's behind the net to Simmons when they were playing the Bruins last Thursday.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Right.
And,
yeah.
He's got speed in the zone. I mean, he's off sports hernia surgery. He'll be faster.
Yeah, he just has to work up to game speed.
He's also been playing defensively, like, really good, too.
Yeah, he's not actually, and that's why Hextall called him out in interviews saying, I want to see more of him to like get more involved in the offensive game. But when you're a young player and you're that conscientious of playing a defensively responsible game at the NHL level and able to do that for the most part, the offense will come. Yeah. I think because it's right. He's not
unless
like,
you're Sean Couturier. Apparently.
Yeah, but I think he has. I mean, Couturier had upsides. He scored those goals at juniors. Yada yada. That old gag. But Nolan Patrick has more the offensive tools. Couturier, what holds him back the most, I think, is the fact that he's not a great skater.
My God, he takes forever to shoot.
He's not as bad as everyone says he is, but he's not. He has a quick release. And he has a quick feet. Patrick has quick feet, and he's also. I keep saying it for the third time now. Sports hernia surgery. It's going to take some time to get back in the shape too. He's
also
playing at a much higher level than he's ever played before.
Just from pure. It's like he only ever played in juniors. It's like the same thing with Konechny and Provorov. They don't even have anything to judge NHL speed off of.
They don't have AHL little pad in there. Just that's it.
So like even preseason NHL hockey is probably still 1,000 times faster than CHL or OHL, whatever he's playing in.
Remember
WHL.
Last year when Morin came up for the first NHL game?
Yeah.
And they were interviewing him at like after the first or second period. And
he was
like
dead.
Completely out of breath. Just like... It's really fast out there right
and
now.
And that's just AHL to NHL, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Nolan a guy who had already been like in the system for a little
Nolan
while.
Nolan will be fine. He's also had some... He's already had some some good no-look passes, so that's getting up to game speed.
And he's also... I really want to point out the crashing the net last night. He's getting the dirty areas. He's not scared to, like... I hate to talk like a goddamn hockey announcer. He's getting the dirty air. He's getting his hands dirty. But that's really what he's doing. I don't know what else to say. I've grown up watching hockey for like over 20 years, so I really don't know what else to say. He goes to the net and tries to get deflections and works really hard. Does that sound better than going to the dirty areas? I don't know. I'm trying to be like everybody else, but it's hard not to when you're talking about everything everyone's talking about.
Yeah, so he'll be fine.
Yeah. So what do you got? But the real question was, what do you guys think I should say next time? Go to the dirty areas. I'm trying a new thing.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's where I ask you guys how I'm doing as far as my hockey.
Go to the dirty areas, mucking and grinding. Mm.
Taking it and shoving it.
Plays with intensity.
Plays with a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Has a high
motor.
Wayne
Simmons is really good at taking it and shoving it.
He really is.
Net.
Taking it and shoving it, and also taking his fist and shoving it Ryan McDonough's face. Oh, my jaw.
Oh, it
freaking
hurts.
Samuel Jackson from Unbreakable. Oh, I'm the glass man. I'm the glass man.
Thanks, Billy Gunn.
I'm the glass man. I love to shove
I don't know
him.
Why, but I thought
I
you were saying...
God damn it.
You're saying I'm the glass man. I'm thinking... In the tune of I'm the Scat Man.
No. How'd you find my Pornhub channel?
Oh, no. Not that kind of scat.
I know. Church of Fudge. Google it. I guess we can talk about Sam Morin with an almost Gordie Howe hat trick last night.
Yes.
Laid somebody out.
He beat that man
it's
up.
It's so ridiculous.
And then
like,
was it named Farnham and Bailey? Whatever the hell his name was.
Yeah, Farnham.
You're like, ah, we torture animals and make them step on stuff. Farnham and then we got canceled. And he gets his...
Bobby Farnham.
He goes against this stupid decision to go against this big
I hate that, like...
Of young man just prowess.
It even happened with Gudas the night before. If you lay a clean hit now, it's just like you're automatically going to get into a fight.
I'm trying to protect my teammates from CTE.
The only good thing that came out of that, though...
If Drew gets decked, though, do you want like someone stepping in for him to go after them?
I mean, they really haven't been in the last, like...
But if Drew gets, like, decked on, like, a really... Like,
he got decked in Arizona and got a concussion. I don't think anybody fought... What's his face?
Maybe left-wing Drew does.
I don't think anybody fought Martin Hansel for that.
True. But Hansel's a nice guy. Here's Hansel. What about Griddle?
Yeah, the Flyers aren't really into retaliating so much, but Farnham...
I ever heard of Wayne Simmons? He does it all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, Farnham's in on a paid tryout, I think, professional tryout for the Rangers. So I think he was just trying to make a name for himself.
It's nice.
Why you would fight Sean Morin to make a name for yourself?
Sean Morin?
Or Sam Morin? Damn it. But why you would fight Sam Morin when like he had like a foot on you and way more reach and just punched you in the head a lot?
Those are big feet to have on somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punch him in the head a lot.
I mean, it's good to have like more in there, I guess, to fight Patrick Maroon because Brandon Manning obviously can't.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, though, because...
Nobody wants to watch Brandon Manning get punched in the face by Ryan Reeves all season.
Well, maybe he won't. Maybe he'll be in the press box or also in IR. We'll get to that a little bit later, though. Sam Morin, how about that goal?
It wasn't even a slapper, either. It was a... Nice wrist shot.
Finally placed wrist shot.
It wasn't like a slow one either from the point. He was like stepping in on the point, had a little bit of speed going, and just flung. He has that big-ass wingspan. When he had that big-ass wingspan, dude, all that torque, if you shoot it right, it's like Chara with a slap shot.
He's been working with Shel Samuelson
Cajel.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. I really appreciate that because I think Morin, I'm really excited about him. Hag had a relatively, I'd say, quiet last two games, but not bad. Not quiet in a bad way.
He just did
what he was supposed to do, a couple little icky things, yeah, but nothing
The first, I guess, period and a half or whatever Tuesday.
It was a Hajj.
Robert.
He was a little shaky, but then he picked it up.
Took his medicine.
And then the...
Michael J. Fox medicine.
Or drank
And then
beer.
The second goal...
Allegedly.
Was it the second goal Monday night that, like, deflected that Neuwirth saved?
Oh, yeah, off of Neuwirth and off of him.
Hague and then
yeah.
into the net.
What, was it Brazen in the net? Always deflected.
The classic Andy McDonald goal.
Gee, golly, Miss Molly. Or something like that.
Classic Andy McDonald goal is just like him turning around and shooting it on his own net.
Or how about him scoring last night? Andy McDonald, or did it went to
Lindblom? They gave it to Lindblom.
Lindblom, yeah.
On the deflection.
How about Lindblom about to make the team, huh? In the beginning of camp, I really didn't know
I thought he was
going to
be a call-up.
Yeah, I thought he'd be like call-up throughout the year, but I thought he was not going to make the
yeah,
team.
Yeah, because with the no NHL experience, it's the same thing as
but
everyone else.
He played
else.
With
yeah.
men in Sweden at a young age. Like, he was,
I
like,
know,
he
but
was...
the Swedish leagues are bigger rinks. It's... What they were saying was like, I think it was, I don't know who the announcers were, but they were saying they were talking
Jonesy
to some of the guys.
JJ.
And like they were talking to the Russian guys in Lindblom, and they were like, there's plays here in the NHL where like you're going to get hit in the middle of the ice where like in other leagues they would be away from you. Or like the physicality isn't there in the other leagues. So like Lindblom got pancaked by somebody, but then got right back up and they were like, oh, that's probably not a hit he's used to taking because like in the leagues he played in, the guys don't go for that.
Yeah, well, guess what? He'll either he'll figure it out or he'll go to the Phantoms.
Yeah, I mean, he bounced right back up and looked good. So
that deflection goal was no mistake either. He's supposed to be like really good at that.
Deflections, yeah.
Yeah, that's like a majority of his goals are like deflections and rebounds.
So, aka perfect third line player.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like a perfect second power play guy in front.
Oh, second power play. That is that. Even though they didn't score, it was nice to see a second power play didn't know what the hell to do with the puck. They
leaps
cycled it well. They
and
got
bounds
they,
better.
Yeah, they got pucks to the front of the net. They got to the dirt. They got pucks to the front of the net, and they crashed the net
crashed
hard.
Crashed the net.
And they also were good at puck. They were very good also at puck retrieval. It wasn't one and done with that unit. They got the puck back and cycled it back to the points. I think Sanheim being on the point for that one really was nice as well.
Right. Well, Charlie O'Connor tweeted out this morning a quote from a full Konechny interview he did last night, and he said that Knobloch, the new power plays coach,
yes,
is focusing more on the statistics side of power plays and like trying to teach them where to make the high percentage passes and take the high percentage shots.
As opposed to trying for the cross ice pass.
Right. As opposed to Giroux trying to force it across to Voracek every time or funneling it back to Ghost every time and letting him shoot. So like, I figure there's going to be, knowing this now that they basically like revamped the entire power play approach, there'll probably be growing pains, yeah, especially because it's not like a set lineup and you're shuffling people in and yeah out night after night.
But it's a progression thing. Like you have, it's like repetitive. Like, hey, listen,
right,
well, as soon as you're here, you got to do it enough. It's like a quarterback yeah doing your reads. You got to know that the hot route's here. You also got to know you have a guy coming across this way to be your check down. Like you have to know,
right,
where are my two best options. And also, once in a while, the cross-ice pass will work if you set it up, but you can't do it.
Give it like 10 games of them playing together on like consistent units.
And also,
and then if still nothing's
talent
happening, then worry about it.
I just hope that the new system involves Voracek and Giroux moving more.
Especially Voracek, he has to move.
And he sits.
There
just
was a couple,
on that side.
A couple times
all,
in last night's game, he actually took the puck and was able to like use his body and like his size to like block people, shield people from the puck and move. And I'm like, there, that's the Voracek we need.
That's where I miss Danny Briere. Danny Briere on the power play behind the net was like the most dangerous thing.
Right, yeah. Because
he was constantly moving, a little yeah shuffle elf.
Well, that's the shitty umbrella they never got away from.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they will this year.
They never get away from the umbrella, and they always cycle it on the outside of the zone, and like teams are perfectly fine with stacking a box and then just keeping them to the outside.
Yeah.
So.
And like sometimes Giroux hits a perfect one-timer and it goes in, but like a lot of the times nothing happens.
Yeah, because you have to like get for that perfect. It was predicated upon him getting the shot off and also hitting it right, and the goalie not making the save. It wasn't ever, And also when Shen would work, because he'd find the slot spot. They're trying to get Patrick in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, then just throw everybody in there and see what sticks.
Well, I like the idea of Wheel and Konechny on the second unit as well. I think those two have been playing together.
Who's
Scott Laughton and Wheel were playing pretty well together last night as well. Scott Laughton, another guy we got to talk about tonight. Holy
yeah
shit. Doyle, what were you going to say?
The second power play unit was Patrick, Wheel, Konechny, and who else?
It was Sanheim on the back end. And I want to say, I don't even know, man. I should have.
Rafael?
Raffle? He might have been, remember. But I don't even remember. Shit. I should know this.
Was it Lindblom?
Might have been Lindblom.
This was it not, Couturier?
Not very professional for us, huh?
Was it a Couturier in the second
I have
unit?
No idea.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
It's kind of hard to see because like they've changed it up so much.
Yeah, everything's been moved around. Either way, the power plays. The name recognition looks better. Yeah, for sure.
I feel better about the moving into the second power play unit this year. And then Scott Laughton last night with Raffle with that goal passed way too many times, but it worked.
But it worked, yeah.
Scott Laughton, Hextall had nothing but great things to say about him during the intermission.
Yeah, tugged him out the whole interview.
But it also gives you perspective of where he's at. Like, we were kind of like Laughton. I mean, we all, I'm going to say we were like above and beyond like in on this, but we were all kind of like, Scott Laughton's probably done.
Oh, yeah, I assume that he was.
Because the injury and everything and just the timing of other people moving up.
But yeah, for how high he was picked and what he's produced so far, I figured he was done.
But it seems like Hextall thinks he could still be a viable, bottom like 3 or 4 center on this team,
well,
and also contribute to other areas.
His
penalty killing was great, too.
He also said that like Laughton's lack of play was not like a team being unable to find a spot for him reason. It was like on him.
Yeah, he said he was very disappointed in some points at him, but he said he's been nothing but in the past year he's really got his game together.
Yeah, they said that, I mean, well, they said, but they've done a lot of interviews with him, and he basically said that his last like year in the AHL was just to learn his own role and what he could contribute.
Yeah. Like, you got drafted high, but you are a fourth-line player, so figure it out.
Or a third-line player, yeah. But yeah. He's an effective two-way center. He's not going to be, scoring a bunch of goals. But
and he hits the boards with the best of them.
I see his...
He hits walls like Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, Jesus. How long have I been waiting to use that one? It's been weeks since you made that reference. I think his ceiling...
Except better because he lives.
So everyone don't ever freak out at me, so I'm a fucking idiot.
Jamie Benn.
His ceiling is... Patrick, no, it's. I think 20 goals would be reasonable if he had a really great season and clicked. I think more like 10 to 15 is more reasonable, but 20 would probably be the most he could probably get. That's okay as a third line center or fourth line center.
Yeah,
that's great.
You're not out there to score.
Remember
goals
when the Flyers
center,
in 2010
so.
And the years before that had like 6 20 something
more
goal
than
scores.
That. There was like 8 20 goal scorers,
like
there?
6 25 goal scorers.
Yeah,
this is how you build it. Hopefully, because now a third and fourth lines can be dangerous.
When they played Pittsburgh in the first round, they had like 4 20 goal scorers.
Yeah, so we need to...
Couturier being one of them.
Blaze all day, bro. 420 goal scorers. Get it? They were smoking the ganj.
I got it.
Worst.
I got it.
Don't you love when we have great hockey conversations and to bring it to a screeching halt?
Screeching halt.
It's my character. It's called Jeff. Yeah, so the first two games, looking forward to watching the last two with the roster spots we have left. So I guess now...
Oh, now we can talk rosters?
No, not yet. Not yet, boys. No, just kidding. I wanted to make sure we gave those games a proper flesh out because I don't have my fleshlight. We have two roster spots left after the I don't like Jeff's face as I said that. I was merely quoting Doyle
and what
he told
me
earlier.
Yuck.
Don't worry about it. Just put it in the dishwasher. We'll clean it.
Top rack only.
Only two spots left. There's 8 defensemen. There's, 14 forwards left. Who do we cut now? Did I got that right? 8 defensemen, 14 forwards, right?
Yeah.
Declare an extra defenseman.
Yes.
Yes, I'm making sure. I'm not a math teacher. I don't know. So what do we do here, fellas? We got to make a case here. Who's leaving? Should they stay or should they go?
Well, the perfect scenario that everybody would like would be to keep all 3 rookies on defense and send either Brandon Manning or Andy McDonald down.
Right.
Doyle, would you like that to happen as well?
I mean, if you can send Brandon Manning down, and obviously, I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends because Brandon Manning.
If you send Brandon Manning down.
The last two games has looked like an absolute train wreck.
Right. He normally looks like an absolute train wreck.
But he has a lot of flashes of like, hey, that's Brandon Manning. All right.
Yeah.
So I guess depending on if you think that McDonald can be better as the 7th defenseman.
McDonald will never be better ever.
Better than Brandon Manning.
Can we have a reasonable conversation? And
well,
open
no.
It
so here's the thing. Manning can't get. Manning could get sent down, but he probably wouldn't clear waivers. McDonald, as we know, can clear waivers.
And if he cleared, if he didn't clear waivers, we'd only be paying half his salary.
Thus right, that's true more. Too. But I think he signed for 2 years.
Who's that?
Manning. After
yes.
this, didn't he just sign 2 year extension?
Yes.
And so they would still have to pay half the salary for the full right,
I also
life of the
think,
contract.
Unpopular opinion, but I think Manning is still valuable to this organization.
Right. So everyone hates McDonald. McDonald will clear waivers.
Not saying McDonald's not valuable, but Manning has a young defenseman.
Manning
that
can stay
Phantoms
in
Phantoms or
right.
Flyers is
and
more
And his
valuable.
Cap hits less. Now, the outside chance here I'm looking at and what I would prefer is that Weiss and Reed get sent down. And you keep.
Defenseman.
Yeah, and you keep Sanheim and Lear up.
Ooh.
But Hextall will never do it, most likely.
Wait, you send Weiss
so you're
and Reed?
Keeping eight defensemen?
No, you send down McDonald too.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Basically, get rid of all the old riffraff.
What if Manning's back starts hurting and acting up again? He goes on IR to buy some more time.
Well, you can call up McDonald. McDonald's going to clear waivers if he has to. No one wants him. So, like, it's kind of like having a two-way defenseman.
But what if I'm saying, if you are able to put Manning on IR, you keep McDonald as your seventh defenseman.
Or that too, yeah.
Kind of like what they do with Blake Gordon.
But basically, Manning.
Yeah.
But like
and
Manning,
straight.
Manning could be claimed, but McDonald is basically, for all intents and purposes, a two-way defenseman.
We're daring you.
He can go up and down.
Two-way contract defenseman.
Yeah. Two-way
yeah.
contract defenseman.
Yeah.
So yeah. like in that regard, yeah, send him down to the fans. Fuck cares. You can call him back up whenever you need him. No one's gonna take him. And
yeah.
if somebody takes him, awesome.
But Andrew McDonald's like, a really nice guy, and really took his role seriously,
yeah,
helping groom young.
I'm sure that's awesome. Yeah. Every time he got back to the bench, Hextall was like, "Don't be like him."
As he sat, ghost despair, and everyone was so angry. Oh, I can't wait to feel the salt pouring down on
Once
Twitter.
Once Patrick
this year.
Gets set,
he gets set for a couple games. Or they put Ghost in the press box to rewatch.
Where Travis
a couple
Sanheim
games.
Has a Ivan Provorov game.
Everyone last
oh,
night.
Oh my god.
Everyone last night was like. I can't believe you. That's why you didn't play Konechny in overtime.
Oh my god!
They don't really get progression, do they? Like you
no.
get better, and also you
no,
work
there's,
your way
there's
up.
There's nothing
the
about player development and more experience. It doesn't matter.
Why was if Moran was this good? Why wasn't he playing 3 years ago?
Why wasn't Giroux playing top notch minutes when Richards and Carter were here?
Well, you know, it's so stupid. But yeah, I here's what I think is going to happen. I think. They're probably going to wind up sending. It depends on these last two games. But as it looks right now, I think the safest bet for them, as organizationally, is to, if they don't feel comfortable sending McDonald down, they're going to send Sanheim down. If they can't get
probably
you know, LTIR. And they will send Reed or Lear down. Probably Lear. However, Lear added way more to the bottom six than I think Reed does at this point in his career. Because Reed had
well,
speed
yeah.
before.
And Reed
does not have speed
don't
anymore.
Bring anything.
Yeah, but you can. I would rather... Hold Weiss as an
dude,
extra
Weiss
forward.
Had a tear. Remember the end of last season? Don't forget, he had a tear end of last season. He was really killing it.
Yeah, I guess if you had to pick one, I'd
Weiss
rather have
is,
Weiss.
And Weiss is a good veteran presence on that bottom line. There's a lot of young guys on those lines.
Yeah.
Weiss is a guy that's been around the league. And remember,
yeah, the third
we
line.
We all, I called it last year. I wanted, I thought Weiss is going to have a Weiss. I have with
Weiss.
Weiss is, I think Weiss is going to have a bounce back year. Him and Giroux. Those are my two bounce back candidates. Thinking Weiss, I'm not saying he's gonna have like an amazing year, but I think he'll do better than like he won't be in the press box as much. Hopefully,
right.
But with all these young guys, who knows?
And very few people I've seen have actually acknowledged the fact that Sanheim playing full time AHL minutes is better than playing seventh defenseman minutes.
Yeah, you don't keep him just to yeah. keep him on the team. Like, hey, what's up there, sport? Hang out with the big guys, learn how we travel. Like, you
hey,
get that
guy.
Experience and also play top line minutes in the
Iron
NHL.
Our suits.
And he's also one injury away from getting called up.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
our veteran defenseman. I mean, if you count Ghost as a veteran, he kind of is. But really, it's like Gudas and McDonald. And I guess it's at some point Manning's had enough NHL experience.
Yeah, McDonald could easily hurt himself at any time.
Yeah, and so could Gudas. All those hits. I mean,
yep.
knock on wood. I don't want him to get hurt. I like Gudas a lot. So yeah, that's how it's going to shape up, man. There's two people, but Lindblom and Patrick look like locks.
Do you want to?
And Vorobiev, is that how you're saying?
Vorobiev.
Vorobiev. He should be called up at some point this summer. I mean, not summer, this season, I would think, because he...
He looked pretty good.
If they had one more spot available, he probably would be in the running still.
So, they were doing... it was... I forget who did the poll, but it was like... So, assuming that Lear gets sent down, Sanheim gets sent down, who's the first call-up for defense and offense when they need him. And like Sanheim's the obvious one if he gets sent down. But a lot of people were Vorobiev and Lear were the back and forth, like both were hovering around the same amount in the poll. It was like 40%
each. And also could be Kyle McDonald, but he got hurt, right?
Well, yeah, naturally.
So
God damn it.
But he got hurt in like what, the second preseason game or something like that?
I don't know. He's so old.
And someone else.
Yeah. That's okay though. I'm looking forward to seeing these young guys move up and down whenever they can get them on the lineup. But the thing is, everyone should be happy with is, like I said earlier in the show, we finally have a point in this team's progression. Keeps in the word progression, it's like the key word of the show. Where we're going to have at least two defensemen, young defensemen moving up. We have Ghost and Provorov returning. We have Konechny returning. And we have Patrick and we have Lindblom coming up to the team. And possibly even Lear or other players moving up at some point, including like Sanheim. So that's a very good thing it's very good. It's not going to be playoff Stanley Cup contenders, but they are now a playoff team.
Everyone's ready for
Stanley
Cup. Do you
want to roll your four lines out right now? Tell me what you got.
Oh my God. I don't know if I can do that right now.
It would be hard to do it without writing it down.
Yeah, I think
I always forget about Jordan Wheel.
Well, Jordan Wheel is going to be
All right, well, I'll give you the baseline. Say you have Drew, Couturier, Jake on the first line.
Okay.
Second line, you go Wheel, Patrick, Simmons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Third line, this is where you get a little crazy. You go Oscar Lindblom.
All right.
Val Filppula.
Okay.
Laterra.
Travis Konechny.
Okay.
I like it.
Fourth line, Scott Laughton, Yuri Laterra.
And Raffle.
Raffle.
Interesting.
So Weiss would sit in the press box.
Yes.
Hmm. But you have Lear. Now, if that would be reversed, you'd put Weiss somewhere in the bottom two lines still and just have maybe move up connecting to the second line or Raffle or even Filppula. But Filppula would probably be center of the third line.
Yeah.
I think that
or he might center the second line. They might give Patrick. I don't think they want to throw Patrick into these heavy minutes to start. And
You have
making
Patrick
him second
is
line
like
center.
Your third line center.
Right.
But like not
he's
defensively
not defensive
responsible.
Yet. Yeah, take
so
him.
So he's your second line
give him
center.
Give him zone starts where like the matchups are favorable and stuff like that. But like I wouldn't make him I wouldn't just throw like, you're gonna get out there, you got a Shadow Malkin. Get on it, kid.
So I guess we'll still see what happens in the last two games, but Giroux will be back to center by
I don't see that.
And then if you do it that, then that kind of throws a wrench in everything, because then you have, Giroux,
Couturier,
and Patrick.
Or Voracek.
Right, so, I get what Hextall's saying, oh my God, well, this is great. Now with Giroux and Coots on the same line, with the new face-off rules, if one person gets tossed, there's still the other one there, but it's realistically, you're not going to put them both on the same line.
Well, if that were to happen, you would just have Patrick play second-line center, you'd have Laterra play third, or Laughton play third, and they just go between third and fourth there. That's what you're working with connecting on, a third-line center, you don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's ideal, but you do have the option to rotate these guys around.
But then we have a problem because John Boric believes John Boric believes that Taylor Lear has punched his ticket and he's not going to get sent down.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right,
based off of last night's game.
I hope he's right, but I don't want to even believe what...
Here's my conspiracy theory.
Here we go.
Spread it on.
During the interviews last night, with one Ron Hextall.
Sexy Hexy.
As he was talking to JJ and Keith Jones.
Okay, I'm just keep going. Leave me alone. Don't look at me like that. You just look at me like I'm grabbing something.
So he was talking about Scott Laughton and Taylor Lear, and as he got to talking about Taylor Lear, he was saying, he's got great AHL talent.
Oh, yeah.
So,
God damn
Jesus
it.
Christ.
That was very scary. I didn't know what was happening. Yeah, great AHL talent coupled...
It's called Drew Naked. It's pretty cool.
Great AHL talent coupled with, Scott Laughton's really worked hard. I'm so proud of him. It's going to be great. He's amazing. Best player ever. Doesn't bode well for Taylor Lear.
So what's the conspiracy again?
That since Ron Hextall said
Taylor Lear has AHL talent.
Yeah, he's already decided what's going to happen.
He's already decided that he's not going to make.
My God.
God damn it.
Really, I hate that so much.
Why do you hate it?
Just put on Unsolved Mysteries. That's better. Beep, boop,
beep, boop, beep. We've already done that. Been there, done that, had the whole t-shirt.
That
actually,
should be queued up every time somebody says there's a conspiracy theory.
I actually have an Unsolved Mysteries t-shirt in my room. That's why I said that I stole the t-shirt. Yes, no, I don't. But it'd be, you almost believed me, didn't you? You almost believed me.
If you did,
that's what we call in the show making Doyle fall for the joke. It's a new bit I'm doing.
If you did have one, I would have got up right now and just lit it on fire in your room.
It's my new joke called making them fall for the joke.
Unsolved Mysteries t-shirt on fire.
Sounds like this mystery has been solved.
It's never solved. I'm always on the case. That's what I would do.
Is it?
It's a mystery, is it? Eh?
Are you going to give us a monologue or what?
You having a stroke?
Hextall said he's an AHL talent. I didn't believe it. The dame came to my office in a pearl necklace. I was drinking a bottle of booze. I knew Jeff was a dick. I knew no one liked him.
Private
but
dick.
Doyle was onto something here. If Taylor Lear's AHL talent, that has to mean Scott Laughton makes the team and flourishes into a top first center, and then we get rid of Giroux.
Be fair,
or maybe
though.
He was wrong. And Doyle's secretly the rat, and Joe Walker's not there. Just kidding.
To be fair, though, Brandon Manning's AHL talent. Look where that got him.
He likes to fight people, apparently, as we always go back.
So good at fighting people and getting punched in the face.
He's really good at getting punched in the face.
Well, especially by, what's
and
his name?
And deflecting goals
Pat
into his own
Maroon.
Name.
Maroon. Everyone's favorite name based on a color.
X-Flyer. Pat Maroon.
X-Phantom.
Everyone's favorite. What about Ryan White?
Oh, boy.
Delco Ryan White, huh?
I don't like the White anymore, Jeff. Can't do that.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, so speaking of Metro Division preview, let's talk about the Metropolitan Division.
Oh, Jesus.
No, because next week we're going to be bringing you guys our full season preview with the Flyers. I'm looking at
Metropolitan Division. Penguins, Capitals, Blue Jackets. Rangers and someone else.
The Devils, Rangers, Islanders, and Caps, and Devils got worse. The Blue Jackets and the Islanders and Hurricanes got better.
The Hurricanes are still a bubble. They're like the Flyers.
Yes,
they could be good, but they could also stink.
But they got Kruger. They got Trevor Reamsdyk. They also got Justin Williams. So they get into Game 7. That's all they need, baby.
Yeah.
And Scott Darling.
And Blue Jackets got Panarin, the old the 35-year-old rookie.
I mean,
the
Blue Jackets were already good, so they're probably going to be just as good.
Yeah.
Unless they all quit on Tortorella.
For sure.
Which is a definite possibility because he is an asshole.
Is it year 3 for him? This is about the quitting time.
Maybe,
right?
Yeah, right?
But don't forget about the Islanders, guys.
Four, maybe.
They added Jordan Eberle, and this Josh Hosang is supposed to be the real deal.
Right, Captain Trashfire. Tavares is just like, I'm trying to figure out how to get the fuck out of here, man.
Who's
their defense? Seidenberg?
They traded
Johnny Boychuk?
Casey Cizikas?
They traded Slamandick. Travis Hamonic.
Oh, okay.
To the Flames.
I'll give you explain your nickname, because I actually had no idea where you were going with that.
They don't really have anybody on defense, I don't think.
Johnny Boychuk and Dennis Seidenberg. Those are the only two.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Casey Cizikas. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Cizikas.
Did he play defense?
And don't forget Cal Clutterbuck.
Oh, yes. Very good contract. Good
Year
job,
two
Garth
of that
Snow.
To mustache.
I'm kidding. That wasn't a good contract. That's my joke.
Contract.
Did you ever listen
stinks.
To this? Just know your
contract
sucks.
Contract sucks farts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lots
you can
of
take
them.
It and
real
shove it.
Smelly ones. And you can take it and you can shove it, my friend. I know if you're reaching for my nipple or the paper.
No, I'm just trying to get paper.
Well, why don't you chop down a tree?
Does Nick Leddy play defense?
Oh, yeah. Nick Leddy sounds like somebody who plays for them.
If they let him. So, yeah. Anyway, so apparently the best bet to win the division, if you're looking at making money based
Penguins.
On the shark, Penguins are still there. Best Stanley Cup bet. You guys want to guess? From the division?
Oh.
The best Stanley
from
Cup
the
bet
division?
To take the odds and like win with the money.
I would still go with the Penguins.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They also think they're going to have Matt Murray win the Vezina out of the someone pick out of the division.
Okay.
Blue Jackets are the best bet not to make the playoffs.
Smart. No, that's not that smart. I think the Rangers could probably fall off this year.
It's possible. Hurricanes to make the playoffs. And also Devils have the bet to have Nico Hischier to win the Calder, which means Nolan Patrick will be in the running, most likely. And
most likely.
They think the Flyers over 90.5 points.
If the Flyers were going to have a Rookie of the Year candidate, this is a year to do it.
Yes.
Because the draft class was so weak, and it's really just Patrick and Nico. Yeah.
Well, last year, Provorov would have been nice, but they had other...
Dude, yeah, last year's draft class was Austin Matthews and Werenski and...
Yeah, which wasn't going to work.
Patrick Laine.
The year before that with Ghost, you had
Ghost,
Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I mean, Ghost wasn't going to win.
Call me the GM, Michael.
And yeah. Somehow, neither of them won. He had a 35-year-old rookie win.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's pretty much that's where, there you have it. So the Metropolitan Division, I think the Flyers are still looking at a wild card spot most likely, but don't count them out of possibly making the last division spot as well. The way I think the division is shaping up, and they also could, it all depends what the Flyers do. We'll talk about this more next week. How they
I'll
end
read.
Up. We'll
yeah,
have
right.
Our
they have to win games. So,
Oh my God, we have our the Broad Street Bully Fantasy Hockey Draft
John,
in a few minutes from now.
Yeah,
John Buttigross, and this isn't the tweet of the week, so don't cue that up.
Oh, Doyle, you don't even know what time it is.
But John Buttigross tweeted. Somebody said, what are your thoughts on the Flyers this year? And he said, I like Michael Neuwirth and Brian Elliott and think they have enough talent to make the playoffs, hashtag bubble. So.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
He's actually just a big fan of bubbles. So
does love bubbles.
But just to wrap it up with the talk about our rosters, sorry to say, future first-line center Mike Vecchione.
Probably not making the team.
He got loaned this morning to the
Damn
Phantoms
it.
With Vorobiev. So
really, dude, I thought he was going to be 1C, man.
Well, that's what they all told us on Flyers Twitter. He was going to
really thought
he was going to supplant Giroux for the you know, the thing. But it is what it is, people.
Also, don't like people are calling him Vex. Can't stand it.
Yeah, what is he, like a goddamn race from Destiny?
I didn't hear that.
Is he a rune from Diablo 2?
I didn't hear that,
what,
and
do we hate
I
him?
Hate it more. Yeah, I hate that. I don't like that at all.
Do you vex that name?
Yeah.
It vexes you?
That name's very vexing, yeah.
I don't really like it. Anyway, guys, we have a fantasy football. We have our Broad Street Bully Fantasy Hockey Draft in like 2 minutes, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick small break here and come back with the end of the
show. It's going to be instantaneous for you.
Yeah, you won't even know we're gone. It'll be like we're just a summer wind blowing by.
You're just going to hear the sweet, dulcet tones of one Josh Carter.
Two sweethearts, and we'll be right back.
It's time for...
Hibbidoo bop bop, tweet of the week, yeah!
Hey, everybody, what's going on? It's the Tweet of the Week. That's right, the part of the show where you, the listener, you, the person who has no idea we exist, tweet something. We find it cool, funny, humorous, or just worth bringing up on the show. That's what we're doing here tonight as we just move through our fantasy drafts. We're liking our team so far. So, Jeff, what's the Tweet of the Week this week?
All right, so the Broad Street Bully Podcast put out a stupid tweet about Giroux, and Grizzly Bear, at jchris7, responded with, take him and shove him onto the trade block.
Oh, so he's playing on the famous not Drew Flyer fans phrase of take it and shove
and
it.
And shove it, yes,
I like that. And speaking of take and shove, I just drafted Wayne Simmons. So
boom, that's a good pick.
I have a Flyer on my team, people. I told you, I like the Flyers.
That's good.
That's his catchphrase in front
Wayne
of
Simmons
net.
Is
take
good for
shove.
Penalty minutes, he's good for hits, and he's good for goals.
And for taking it and
shove
it.
Power play points,
So who was our tweet of week again this week? Could we sending it out?
Grizzly Bear, at jchris7.
Thank you, Grizzly Bear, for our...
Tweet of the week. Yeah.
All right. That's all edited for Tweet of the Week this week and everything else. Isn't that fun, people? Don't you just love that part of the show? Really appreciate it. We also have we have voicemails this week. Both
excellent.
From the same person.
Okay. Good.
I don't know if I should play the first one. But
why are they both bad?
No, they're just him being an idiot. But whatever, we'll play anyway. We appreciate it. We hope you guys start utilizing this feature after the games this year and give us your drunken ramblings or your emotion filled rants, much as Joe the Rat did about Sanheim 2 weeks ago after seeing the rookie game. Without further ado, though, here's your first voicemail for the week. Yeah,
I feel like
both
I feel like
person.
Before we play that, I feel like Joe should be obligated to take back all he said in a voicemail.
Oh yeah, you should. We have to read an on air apology.
He recanted slightly in the
he
one tweet.
Like a politician did so he can protect his voter base. It wasn't even real. You heard it, Joe. All right, here it is.
Fuck you, Drew. Get a little midnight session on this bitch. You diabetic fucks. Fuck you, Drew.
Some high quality hockey talk there. He followed
and throwing some shade at diabetics.
4 minutes later, I think he felt regretful. Cause 4 minutes later into the timeline, that he sent this one as well.
What's up, guys? It's Andy. feel kind of bad for that last voicemail. So I figured I'd call in with a legitimate question. All right, so here it is. Is Mike Greer the best hockey player of all time? I'd like to hear your thoughts, assholes. Fuck you, Drew.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah.
So is Mike Greer the best hockey player of all time? No.
Are we asking statistically? Because no. If you're asking on a personal level, still no.
Mike Greer, when's the last time he even played? Holy shit.
He retired in...
2011.
2011.
Okay.
If you're asking if he was the best player to play for the Oilers, no. The Capitals, no. The Sharks, no. And the Sabres, no.
But he's an American hockey player. Also, African American, very rare.
That's true.
Especially when he played. It's more common now. When he first started playing in the NHL, it was the late 90s, so... yeah, he had that going for him. And I also liked him when he played for the Capitals. I do remember him being up around in the early 2000s with them. And then also later on with the Sharks being a helpful, like, a lower line energy guy. But no, Andy, that's a stupid question. Also, your voicemail is very hateful and hurtful towards me. So I feel obligated to tell you to shut the hell up, and you can take it and shove it, my friend. I know Andy in real life. That's the worst part about it. I can't even be, like, that angry at him.
Yeah, he was so angry at you, though.
I don't even know why.
I don't know, right? There's a lot of hate right
even
there.
Even brought up Doyle Me's old band. Like, yeah. Just had to bring that up. Like, it's crazy.
Dang.
So, yeah, that's... See, guys, the quality of voicemail, the bar is set pretty low. All you guys got to do is call 856-347-PUCK.
Yeah.
And, like, knowing the fact that not people are really sending them right now, you could easily...
You could call in and not curse at us. You probably got it.
If you call in and curse at us, you probably got it. Look what we've been dealing with lately. You have a bunch of crazy people out here.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Oh, my God. Man. So I guess a little small side Philly sports news for all our Eagles fans out there. I want to make sure... go check out 4th and Go, our friend Dave Gleckner for 4th and Go. We've done the show with them before. Dave's been on our show. They did a live show at Wildfire Sports in the parking lot with a bunch of other Wildfire Sports.
Right, did you make it out there?
I did not make it out to their tailgate. It was on the other side of where I was because I was at the Eagles game as well. So before the Eagles game, they did a pre-show tailgate, a pre-game tailgate show. Go check it out if you'd like. I mean, that's always good for Philly sports knowledge over there, and those guys are great and real fun. And they also, they're real nice dudes. They'll interact with you on the show. They'll tweet at them. You know, they'll actually give you a little bit of peace of their mind, so that's always good to know.
How about that?
So, yeah, go check them out. Those are good dudes. And I actually got to go to the game on Sunday, and I saw it 61-yarder live. That was amazing.
That's pretty cool.
I was really looking forward to hopefully the Eagles steamrolling the Giants. It didn't happen.
No, it was looking shaky there for a while.
They played pretty well, and
poor
overall,
Darren Sproles.
Yeah,
Darren Sproles.
A lot of key injuries. The problem with the Eagles right now is the injuries to the defense, and then Darren Sproles getting hurt. It
How shitty does your luck
much,
have
but,
to be to break your wrist and tear your ACL in the same play?
I think being so small for so many years and staying out of the injury zone there for a while was good, but I think he's
still
he's
pretty badass
now.
That he got up and walked off under his own power.
Yeah, because Darren Sproles is the man.
Yeah, bad ace.
So that 61-yarder, amazing. And you know, see the Carson Wentz silly thing of giving his paycheck to the kicker. And I was never more excited and happy to be in the Lincoln Financial Field after that game. I never saw a walk-off football win. That was amazing. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. That was cool. And like I said, go check out.
Yeah, walk-off football wins are
I've seen
few
a
and far between.
Philly's game, but this is a divisional game for first place. I mean, it's so early in the season, but still.
Right, yeah. Well, walk-off baseball games are standard. Like, overtime hockey is a standard. But, like, yeah, the odds that you're at a football game where they win on, like, a walk-off field goal, that usually happen.
Yeah, and that's all the more reason for me to go, like, yeah! That shit was awesome, man. Oh, you bastard took Logan Couture. God damn it. Sorry. Still drafting the NFL here. And I didn't like the fact that he took Logan Couture because that was going to be the guy I picked.
Dirty sons of bitches.
Dude, I didn't realize that we only had two centers that we were playing, so I already have three.
You're loading up on, I guess you're going to kind of trade them, right?
Well, that's fine. You have a bunch of bench players, too. I'm not sure this is riveting to everyone who's listening.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to. you guys have anything else this week before we head on? I mean, if you guys want to make sure you're going to check the Flyers games this week, I want to tell you guys there's two preseason games left. You want to check out some of these guys in action because, remember, there's two spots left to be cut. You have tonight, if you're listening, versus Boston. It's a home game, so it might be still tickets available. Go check it out if you're listening in your cubicle. And also Sunday evening at 5, which will be running into the Eagles-Chargers game at 4:15. So pick your poison there. It's the Islanders game, though. I expect it'll be almost like a dress rehearsal because not really a lot of high minutes from a lot of that top line.
Yeah.
Because Monday and Tuesday's off. The next Wednesday, we will be doing our season preview. We will not be covering the Sharks game. It starts at 10:30. We got to get sleep sometime. So we'll be covering the upcoming week, and we'll make our prediction about the Sharks. You can say, oh, wow, those guys are stupid. And we'll also be running our patented NHL 18 sim based on the Flyers rosters using the EA Sports NHL 18 software of recycle the game and add new rosters to it every year that I still manage to buy and play, which is fun. But, you know, that's just what we do here. So you guys have anything else to say for this week's podcast?
Do you know if that Sunday game is going to be, is it home or away?
They're both, the last two are home.
Okay.
And I think they're both going to be on TCN.
Okay.
Are you trying to go?
They're both going to be on TCN, yeah, so you can check that out.
Trying to go?
No, I just want to know if it's going to be televised.
Yeah, I was hoping I can go to the Chargers-Eagles game. I'm actually going to be in California this weekend.
Yeah, but, Drew's finally going out, going to meet his catfish lady.
No, it's not why I'm going to be out there. But
it's a dude.
If maybe I'll come back next week with a bunch of crazy drunken stories and lead into a bunch of Flyers talk. Who knows what's going to happen out there, people? I'm going to California with an Incan in my heart.
Back to California, California.
Okay, Led Zeppelin. Good try, Jeff. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Like and subscribe on iTunes. Any new listeners, stick with us the rest of the season. We have fun here. And thanks for checking us out. BroadStreetBoy.net, all that crap. You're about to hear it in the stinger.
Go to iTunes.
Go Matt Reed to AHL.
Go to iTunes, rate 5 stars.
Yeah. Just said that.
Always like to reinforce.
And also, I'm going to win this fantasy league, mother lickers. Catch you later.
Remember this. Remember this day.
856-347 Puck. Yes.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
Ed Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter at the BSB Podcast.